Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 13. Kamavishajabhutani Daryam Yaham Ojasa Pushnami Chosidi Sarva Samobhudvara Satmaka. Gam, the planets. Avisha, entering. Cha, also. Bhutani, the living entities. Daryani, Daryami, sustain. Aham, I. Ojasa, by my energy. Pushnami, am nourishing. Cha, and Oshadi, vegetables. Sarva, all. Sama, the moon. Bhutva, becoming. Rasa Atmaka, supplying the juice. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I enter into each planet, and by my energy they stay in orbit. I become the moon, and thereby supply the juice of life to all vegetables. Purport. It is understood that all the planets are floating in the air only by the energy of the Lord. The Lord enters into every atom, every planet, and every living being. That is discussed in the Brahma Samhita. It is said there that one plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, enters into the planets, the universe, the living entity, and even into the atom. So due to his entrance, everything is appropriately manifested. When the spirit soul is there, a living man can float on the water. When the living spark is out of the body and the body is dead, the body sinks. Of course, when it is decomposed, it floats just like straw and other things. But as soon as the man is dead, he at once sinks in the water. Similarly, all these planets are floating in space, and this is due to the entrance of the supreme energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His energy is sustaining each planet just like a handful of dust. If someone holds a handful of dust, there is no possibility of the dust falling. But if one throws it in the air, it will fall down. Similarly, these planets, which are floating in the air, are actually held in the fist of the universal form of the Supreme Lord. By his strength and energy, all moving and non-moving things stay in their place. It is said in the Vedic hymns that because of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sun is shining and the planets are steadily moving. Were it not for him, all the planets would scatter, just like dust in air, and perish. Similarly, it is due to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the moon nourishes all vegetables. Due to the moon's influence, the vegetables become delicious. Without the moonshine, the vegetables can neither grow or taste succulent. Human society is working, living comfortably, enjoying food due to the supply from the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, mankind could not survive. The word rasatmaka is very significant. Everything becomes palatable by the agency of the Supreme Lord through the influence of the moon. Kamavishichabhudani daryamaham ojasa Pushnami Chosidi Sarva Samobhutvara Satmikaha. I enter into each planet, and by my energy they stay in orbit. I become the moon, and thereby supply the juice of life to all vegetables. One of Krishna's opulences is his strength. And strength is manifested here by Krishna being able to do things that no ordinary person can do. Because when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, he held in his left pinky, Govardhan Hill, which was much bigger than Govardhan Hill is now. It is said that Govardhan Hill at one time was so big that when the sun god would drive his chariot around the universe, his horse would stop on the top of Govardhan Hill to graze for some time before he continued his journey. Of course, that's just to give us an indication it was a lot bigger than it is now. In any case, even to pick up one boulder from Govardhan Hill requires a tremendous amount of strength. Has anyone ever been to Govardhan here? Has anyone? So Govardhan Hill, it's not a tremendous hill nowadays. It's at some parts it's bigger than other parts, but no one could pick up Govardhan Hill even today. But Krishna did it by raising his left pinky. People think it was an exaggeration. How is that possible that a little boy, 8 years old, could have held up a hill, went to speak with his left pinky, and held it day and night for 7 days? But after all, Krishna also says here, Gam avisha jabudani daryaham aham ojasa. That is, by my energy, all these planets are staying in their orbit. Planet is a lot bigger than one little hill. And yet they're all maintaining exactly in an orbit. We don't see in the sky every night two planets crashing into each other. Nor do we see any red light and green lights in the sky. One-lane highways keep to the right. And yet everything is going on. Similarly, supposedly this is a planet moving in space, whether it is or not. In any case, did anyone feel any bumps along the way sometimes? Besides that, people on the bottom in Australia, why don't they fall off? If there is actually a sphere moving in space, as soon as you get to the other half, you'd fall off. You know, you see all these people dropping into the Garbhodaka Ocean. Why is it that they're not falling off? In any case, we're on something. We're obviously on some kind of planet or something like that. And according to the present scientists, we're moving in the universe. Of course, according to the Vedic conception, the Earth is not the center of the universe exactly. Bhumandal is. And we're practically in the center of the universe, being on Jambudvip and a little part of it called Bhardvarsha. And it's actually the sun that's circulating around the universe. In any case, whether it's the Earth moving or the sun moving, it makes no difference. Just the fact that all these planets can be predicted where they're going to be, not only tomorrow, but in millions of years. Of course, we can't say millions of years, but in tens of years from now, within our realm of experience, we can say, the scientists can tell us exactly where the planets are going to be. We don't know where we're going to be tomorrow. So obviously the planets are arranged a lot more intelligent than we are. On the other hand, it explains here that the moon is not just like an ordinary planet. The scientists have told us they've gone to the moon and it was all dust. Because it's not exactly reasonable to assume that the moon is dust for a number of reasons. One is dust doesn't reflect light. If you have a dusty room and you shine a flashlight in it, it doesn't light up the whole room by reflection. And if the moon was made of dust, then why is it that it's reflecting the light of the sun? It wouldn't be able to do that. It's more logical that the moon is made out of green cheese than it is that made out of dust. I think green cheese reflects light better than dust does. And what is the proof that the scientists have actually gone to the moon? Of course, we can go over all the different anomalies, we could say, that anyone who studied the moon landing would wonder about. Like, for instance, the moon was supposedly made out of dust, and when this rover, the moon lander, arrives at the moon and lands, although it's supposed to weigh so many tons, when it lands down on the moon, not one speck of dust is raised. I guess the moon was just shivering in ecstasy that finally someone has discovered me. Oh, my God, finally someone found me. I was so lonely out here in the universe all this thousands of millions of years. And then when the little astronaut jumps out of this space rover, all this dust is raised because the moon became so ecstatic by the touch of the air. It just couldn't restrain itself. There are so many anomalies, and then you look up in the sky, there's no stars. Here, even on a not so, even if there's some clouds, you can still see some stars. So why is it that in the moon, when you land on the moon, there's no stars? There's no clouds, there's no stars. And the next thing the astronauts do, they get off and they walk around, they have footprints on the moon. Now footprints imply, in order to make a footprint, you have to have water. But there's supposedly no atmosphere. If there's no atmosphere, you can't have water. If you can't have water, you don't have footprints. But don't ask too many questions, because it's all kind of mysterious. You just don't understand. You're not scientific, you know. Of course on the moon there's you can have footprints without water, because America went there. Wherever America goes, there are no laws. They make their own laws. So obviously the moon respected. And we can go on and on about the anomalies. Therefore, when Prabhupada was 1969, I think they landed on the moon. And Prabhupada was watching on television. He called in, there was some devotees there, Lilavati, Purushottam, and other devotees were there. Purushottam was his servant. And Purushottam was going, "Yeah, Prabhupada, look, they're actually landing on the moon. They're actually there, you know." And Prabhupada said, "The whole thing's fake." And Prabhupada said, "No, look, it's on television." Prabhupada said, "The whole thing is just fake. They never went to the moon." And then Purushottam actually left. He couldn't. And if you look, they don't even show the moon landing anymore. It's so, in English they say rinky-dink. It's so amateurish. It looks worse. I mean, they supposedly spend 50-something billion dollars to get there. But the movies are so amateurish, it's like you can't, it's all just like these silhouettes, and there's so many different weird shadows that are cast, and sometimes you can see through the astronaut, you can see the spaceship right through the astronaut. The whole thing is so weird. And that supposedly, they won't show it. As a matter of fact, all the shots of the moonshine, that's another weird thing, is that they made so many landings on the moon, and they all had this camera on their stomach. You know, and they didn't have any viewfinder, they're just not, and they all came out perfect. Even a professional photographer couldn't possibly, make such perfect films. And they were doing it from their stomach without looking at anything. And then lo and behold, they lost all the pictures. Just inconceivable, They gave it to, I guess the person who was the head of the space project gave it to his kids, and they threw them out. Here's some souvenir kids from the moon. Yeah, thanks a lot. I think we'll trade them for baseball cards. So it's practically, it's unbelievable. Of course it's unbelievable. But from the point of view of the moon, at least even scientifically now you can show that if you take plants and you deprive them of moonshine, they don't taste good. There's no taste to it. So as Krishna is saying, I become the moon and I supply the juice of life to all vegetables. So vegetables actually get their juice, their taste, from moonshine. And that can be scientifically, well, it can be demonstrated by plants being deprived of moonshine. Plants that have moonshine and notice the difference of taste. Now, the moon is just made of dust. How is it supplying taste to vegetables? If you want to make your vegetables taste really good, you just throw them into the dust. They get a very special taste. And the more dust, the tastier they become. Krishna is pointing these things out because they're perceivable by us. That we may not see Krishna directly, but we can see Krishna's power, what he's doing in the universe. And there should be some kind of appreciation, or at least some awe, that there's something out there. The force is there. The force is with you. And the force is a person. It's Krishna. Ojasa means power. So there's a powerful person behind it. And Krishna says, I am. Now, people may not agree with him and say, no, it was someone else. All right, well, tell me who it is and we can go meet him. No one else is claiming that I become I move the planets in their orbits, or I become the moonshine and supply the juice of life to all vegetables. Krishna's claiming it. So if we're going to have an election who's doing it, I'll vote for Krishna, because he's the only candidate. And if someone comes along and says, I'm doing it, then good. You know, just move the planet a little bit this way. Move the sun, you know, can this get the sun to come up, you know, these 15 minutes earlier? It's pretty dark nowadays. So let someone come and claim that they're doing it and then show us how they're doing it. Or show us that they can do it. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
I'm fascinated about this fact that, for example, if we just speculate that they actually would be able to step on the moon physically, like, would their physical presence interfere with the normal everyday life of the moon, or the people on the moon, actually? You know, the beings that are on the moon, would they be able to see them or not?
Well, Chandra is visible. He has a material body like we have, but it's subtler. Still, the demigods used to visit, and they made themselves visible. But as far as whether they could go there, if they didn't have a passport, they wouldn't allow them to enter. It's not that you can go anywhere and people allow you to enter. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, there was one king, Vishwamrita Muni, was trying to send one king to the heavenly planets, and the demigods didn't want him. They didn't think he was qualified, so they threw him back towards the earth planet. Vishwamrita Muni sent him back to the heavenly planets, and the demigods sent him back to the earth planet. So even today, he's suspended in between. He didn't come back, and he didn't make it to the heavenly planet. So it's not that they allow everyone to come. You know, some guy in a spacesuit, you know, there's Chandra and the heavenly planets are all enjoying fabulously wealth and beauty and a duration of life. Then some guy in a spaceship comes. They're not going to let him in. It requires some pious activities to get the moon, not a spaceship. Besides that, they never went. The scientists kept on saying there's a belt of radiation called the Van Allen radiation. And it's like thousands of miles thick. And in order to go through it, you need something like 2 or 3 meters of lead. Which is, you know, impossible to pick, to have a rocket that could pick up such a weight. So they just ignored the whole thing. Although when the Russians sent up the monkeys, they couldn't tolerate the radiation. But because they're Americans, anything's possible. The radiation just gave them free passage. Like Moses walking through the parting sea. The radiation just parted for the... So anyhow, to say what it would be like, but there is no... It's the whole thing was just... I promise that maybe they went to Rahu or something. Who knows? Because Prabhupada didn't make a big deal out of the whole thing, because it's not the major thing of our... It's not the major part of our philosophy to prove that they didn't go to the moon. But he made big enough deal of it, because in the Srimad Bhagavatam there's a description of the heavenly planets, and that they're much more opulent than this planet. So the scientists were right. Supposedly they contradicted the Vedic literature. They proved the Vedic literature was wrong. So to that extent, Prabhupada defended the Vedic literature. But he wasn't interested in making a big thing whether they went to the moon or not. It doesn't really make any difference. Even if they went to the moon, they're going to die there anyhow. Same thing goes on in the moon that goes on here. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, birth, death, old age, and disease. Anything else? Grandhara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.